The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 3. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, we confess to you that at times our faith is weak. At such times we are tempted to hoard, to try to find security by our own means. But Lord, we thank you that you died for us on the cross even while we were sinners, and you save us by your grace. So help us indeed to trust you, to have faith, to open our hearts, to be generous with one another. In your name we pray, amen. Well, once upon a time, there was a small little junior high school. And at this little junior high school, the teachers did their best, and so did the students. But you know, even when people try to do their best, sometimes they make very big mistakes. Sometimes children going through adolescence experience, well, we know they go through huge changes in their social environment and in just their whole universe. And that can lead them to feeling insecure and doing foolish things, especially when you're a new kid out of school. And so it happened that a fantastic rumor began to spread through this little junior high. Rumor had it that the new kid in town was fantastically rich, and all you had to do was say hello to him, and he would give you $100 bill. And this was in the 90s, so that was a lot of money. Well, the rumors were true. My best friend came to me and he said, "Did you get your $100? And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he reached inside his pocket and he pulled out a pin with his name written on it. He unscrewed it. The inside had been taken out, and tightly wound up inside was a Benjamin Franklin $100 bill. And he showed it to me. And he said, "All you have to do is be nice to the new kid, and he'll give you $100. I couldn't believe it. And so, when class was over and we were in our passing period, in fact, I remember we were walking up the steps from the lower portion of campus up to the higher portion. I ran up to the new kid and I said, "Hey, hi, my name is Wes. I hear you're the new kid at school." And he looked so terrified. I remember he was just trembling. And I said, "I heard you're giving out money." And he went, "Oh, yeah, I can do that." And I said, "Okay, well, I'll take some." He said, "Sure, I'll have it for you tomorrow." That night, when I went home, after I got home, I took the bus the long way to the old part of town. I got out and I walked 1 mile uphill in the snow all the way home. Uphill both ways, mind you. I had to stack firewood. I had to do chores, take out the trash. Nowhere was there $100 bills stacked anywhere. And I thought to myself, yeah. I had already started to think, what could I spend it on? Maybe a new mountain bike, maybe some video games, maybe some jewelry for that girl in my social studies class. So the next day when I got to school and I had all my plans in my head spinning out of control, the new kid found me and with a quivering hand gave me a pen, and indeed it had my name written on it with shaky writing, and inside was rolled a $100 bill. And I was curious, and so I said, can I ask where you're getting this money? And he looked upset, and he said, "I found the combination to my dad's safe. And so I'm giving money to people to make friends." And my stomach sank. John the Baptist, in our reading this morning, said to the crowd, "Do not say that you are children of Abraham." He said, if God wanted to, God could make children out of stones. And any tree that doesn't bear fruit will be cut down. John said that your family of origin and your ancestors don't count for anything regarding your status in the eyes of God. What benefit would it be for people in those days to consider themselves as Abraham's children? Why would that even be a thing? Well, it meant quite a lot, actually. As I talk about in Bible study and sermons, there were huge, extraordinary promises made to Abraham by God and to his descendants. Promises that they would become a great nation, that they would have the best land in the whole earth that flowed with milk and honey. Promises that they would grow and multiply, their families would get larger and larger until they were more numerous than grains of sand in all the deserts, or even the stars in all the universe. And greatest of all, these people, these children of Abraham, would be a blessing to the whole earth. But John, who was one of these children, as was Jesus and the disciples, John didn't really want the people to think about that. In fact, he criticized them and he said, if you don't bear fruit, if you don't live the life that God wants, you can forget about those promises. John wasn't the first person to do this. This same type of message we read throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. And our reading this morning, thank you, Ingrid, from Zephaniah is a powerful example of this. Zephaniah is one of the minor prophets, just meaning that the book is short, just 3 chapters long. And in the first book of Zephaniah, Zephaniah hears a word from God, and God says, I'm going to wipe out the whole earth, every square inch of the earth, every human being, every animal, I will destroy. Nobody gets a pass. And why does God say he's going to do this? Well, similar to what John was criticizing the people for, Zephaniah said the same thing. I'm going to do this because the people aren't sharing. Wealth is being accumulated while other people are suffering from poverty and hunger. Zephaniah criticized some people for using their power to steal. But the criticism wasn't just for those on top. Zephaniah criticized everybody. It didn't matter if you were rich or poor. If you were stealing, if you were not being ethical, you would receive the punishment. Everybody would stand before God's judgment. Chapter 2 of Zephaniah, there's just a little bit of hope. Just a little bit of light comes in, and Zephaniah says, but if you don't want to be destroyed in this great judgment of God, then repent. Gather together with like-minded people. Turn your hearts to God. Share what you have and support one another through the great ordeal. And finally, in chapter 3 of Zephaniah, which we read this morning, we have hope. Zephaniah says, after your time of trial and struggle and destruction, the remnant that will be left over will have justice in the land. There will be a new day and a new beginning. There will be hope and justice. So when we hear these prophetic words of Zephaniah and John, we are to ask ourselves in our own self-assessment, how are we doing? Are we sharing our excess clothing and food? Are we making our living honestly and fairly? Are we using our power judiciously and humbly with great care? Perhaps most provocatively, the thing that we should be asking ourselves is this: does our Lutheran theology, the theology of being saved by grace through faith and not by works, how does that square with the prophetic call to justice? And people really ask that. They say, you Lutherans, you're so obsessed with grace. Well, what about the injustice in the world? I say to you this morning that grace is the only way to justice. Because it's not until our hearts trust in God's grace, God's unconditional love for you, that you are able, that I am able, that we are able to share without fear. God's grace, Jesus dying on the cross for us, even when we are sinful, even when we are selfish, even when we are not our best, God's grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ that we receive through the sacrament and the word, only God's grace has the power to change our hearts and to help us to be generous toward one another and to answer John's call to justice. Well, when I got home that night, I had my $100 bill and I carelessly placed it on my desk in my room. I went about my chores after school, raked some leaves, stacked some firewood, and lo and behold, my parents found the $100 bill. So that night at dinner, I was confronted. Son, where did you get this $100 bill? And I said, the new kid in school's handing them out. Anyone that's nice to him gets a $100 bill. And they said, well, where does the new kid get the money? And I said, well, he found the combination to his dad's safe and he's taking it out. And they said, and you took it? And I said, yes. I said, but he gave it to me. And then they asked me the question. If you found our money, would you take it and give it to your friends And if you did, what do you think would happen to you? Then I really started shaking in my boots. My stomach sank because I didn't even want to think of what would happen if I did something like that. And so they simply said to me, you know what you need to do. And so the next day I went back to school. I rolled up my $100 bill. My fantasies of buying a new mountain bike poofed in the air. The girl in my social studies class seemed further away than ever. Didn't matter because God had someone way better for me in the future. I put the pin back together, and when I saw the new kid walking, I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, "Hey, I got to give this back to you. This is yours." And he turned around to me, and again, he was shaking and he looked terrified. And he said, "What?" And I said, I need to give this back to you. And for the first time, he didn't look scared. He looked relieved. And he said, "Thank you." And I said, "No problem." And he smiled and walked away, and so did I. A couple of weeks later, news broke of what had happened, and it just became public in the school, and there was a thing that said, if you got this money, you need to return it. You know, the father found out and was really upset. And my friend came to me and he said, "Did you already spend the money? How are you going to pay him back?" And I said, "I already gave it back the next day." And he said, "Really? Why?" I didn't really know then, but I know now. The reason why is because I was lucky. No, I wasn't lucky. I was blessed. I was blessed to have a family around me that showed me God's unconditional love, that showed and communicated God's grace to me so profoundly and sometimes forcefully that I had no choice but to do the right thing. And so as we enter into this third week of Advent, as we rejoice lighting the pink candle, and we celebrate all of God's grace that has been poured out for us, we remember that the greatest gift we can ever give to someone is just ourself and our time, our kindness to the new kid. The new kid, over time, made his group of friends, and we were friendly to each other. He grew in popularity, and he ended up doing just fine. Remember that you are valuable enough and loved enough by God that Jesus came to be born to give you joy. Jesus would die for you to save you, so that we can share ourself, our time, our kindness, mercy, and grace. Amen.